Hello, everybody, and welcome to call number 4 of the PEACE system, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. This is Lisa Robin Young of lisarobinyoung.com, and today is where things start taking shape. We're spending one session on each step of the PEACE system so that we can dig in deep. So we're spending a lot of time digging through things that really take a short amount of time once you've learned the system. And A, which is today's session, stands for assessing your must-dos. And as I mentioned in our last session, the middle steps of the system usually go pretty fast. We're taking a week on each step of the process because I want you to understand not only the how, but the why of what makes the PEACE system so effective. Because of the flexibility in the system, you'll finally be able to create something that works for you. So by understanding the purpose of each step, then you can tailor it to who you are and how you work. So we're not only looking at the how, but also the why of each step in the system. Today, we're looking at to-dos. Specifically, what I call the EMDs, the RMDs, and the WTDs. And we'll be taking those in more detail. These are three distinct kinds of to-dos that you need to address each day: emergencies, routines, and your want-to-dos. We're going to cover all of that as well as creating your daily master plan, because this is the step where you decide what actually gets done today and what will have to wait, which also means we're going to revisit our key areas and see how they fit into the categorizing and triaging that you're doing in this step, assessing your must-dos. So let's get started. Last session, we talked about documenting your impressions. So you've been practicing developing awareness about all the stuff that's coming out of your head in terms of the to-dos and action items throughout your day. You've done your brain dump. You've poured out all the ideas that are in your head and started sorting them, at least on a preliminary basis, of what you can handle today and what needs to wait. And these are the two things which define our must-dos for the day: our essential why and our IPA. Your essential why is so important, I've developed an entire program dedicated to just that topic. But understand that your essential why is the underlying motivation for everything you do, or don't do for that matter. This core motivator is founded upon your core beliefs and your values. And it's those things that shape how you make the choices in your day, including what you prioritize as important and what you make sure to get done each day. Okay, so that's why the essential why is important. Now, IPA has two connotations, and a lot of people know IPA as income producing activities. And that's one definition if you're a business owner or an income earner, but it's not the only definition that matters to us. I use IPA to identify important personal activities as well. And here's the kicker, okay? In both cases, IPA, whether it's income-producing activities or important personal activities, are things that can only be done by you and must be done by you, okay? There are two qualifications to determine whether it's an IPA. Is it something that must be done by you, and is it something that can only be done by you? For example, it's important that you brush your teeth. Okay, that can only be done by you, and it most certainly must be done by you if you want to have healthy teeth. That's not something that, well, maybe someone who's really wealthy and has a lot of time on their hands might delegate it. Your hygienist will clean your teeth when you're sitting in the chair, but on the whole, you don't delegate tooth brushing. Most of your bodily functions qualify as IPA, including how you nourish your body through diet and exercise. Sorry, you can't have someone else run a mile for you and have you get the benefits of that run yourself. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about IPA. Each day of your life, you need to focus on IPA, important personal activities or income producing activities if you're running a business. You can't omit either one. Both of them are important. Now, how we define IPA is going to be different for everybody. For me, karaoke is an IPA that serves both definitions. It gives me an opportunity to practice performing in public, practice singing, honing my craft. But because it's karaoke, it's also a social activity with no pressure or strings attached to it. So it's an important personal activity as well as a potential income-producing activity for me. Okay? My husband, on the other hand, he has no desire to sing at all. He couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if it was lined and bulletproof. So he doesn't often go to karaoke with me unless he's just going to support my having fun singing. And that's a means of deepening our relationship. So that's an act that is his IPA, not singing, but going to support me. Okay. It's important to him in our marriage that we spend time together. So that's one way that he can capitalize on that IPA and still be able to do something that brings us together. Okay. His idea of decompression is to go down into his man cave and turn on his computer and play a game that he likes to play called EverQuest. And I have about zero desire to play that game. But he'll go down and play for a couple of hours, which relieves some of his competitive nature, eases some tension for him, makes him a less grumpy guy. That's IPA for him. He needs that activity to soothe him. Nobody else can play that game for him and have him derive the benefit from it. Now, is that a must-do activity? Depends on how grumpy he is. And that's what determines whether or not it's an IPA. So that's my point of developing and defining IPA in your own terms. Now, that said, you can't spend your life playing games or singing karaoke and expect to earn any income or make any money. There's got to be a balance of activities in your life. And you know what those activities are in your life. You need to recognize what IPA is for you and define that. So we're going to start real early today with a homework assignment of starting to get clear on what are your IPA and how do you define your income producing activities and your important personal activities. Now, ideally, your IPA are going to center around the five key areas. The five key areas of success, faith, family, fitness, fortune, and freedom. And when you assess your must-dos, and we'll dig into those in a few minutes here, you need to make sure that you're addressing your five key areas each day, as many as possible. You know, some activities you can kill multiple birds with one stone, so to speak. Like when my husband goes with me to karaoke, that's IPA for me. It's also family time for me. It's also, you know, a little bit of freedom time for me. And if it's a competition or something, then it's fortune as well. So I'm getting to do several of those IPAs all at the same time, okay? So let's put this into a practical example so that you can see very clearly what I'm talking about here. You've done your brain dump, and now you need to sort your to-dos into IPA and non-IPA. And if they're non-IPA, even if they're important, you're going to set those aside. So let's go back and remember what IPA is. It's something that must be done by you, can only be done by you, and it must be done, okay, in order to see a result or benefit. So it's something that must be done and can only be done by you, right? That would be IPA. So as you're looking at the list of to-dos that you have, you want to sort them out. Are these things that are IPA, can it only be done by me, and must it be done? Okay, then it's IPA. If it's not, then it's non-IPA. Doesn't mean you don't still have to do it, okay? We'll get to that in a minute. But let's sort out right now and get clarity around what are the things that can only be done by you that have to be done by you, and what is everything else, right? IPA and non-IPA. And even if they're non-IPA in this first step, you just got to set them aside, all right? Because chances are good the few times you do this, you're going to have a very lopsided list, and you're going to think that everything is IPA even when it's not. That everything has to be done by you because nobody else in the world could possibly do it the way you do it, et cetera, et cetera. You may also find that as you're making this list, you're going, wow, there's a lot of stuff on this list that I don't need to do that I could delegate, and I never really thought about it. And we talked about delegation in our first session together. So hopefully you're developing some awarenesses around that, and you're flexing that delegation muscle a little bit more. In truth, you're going to discover that there's a lot of stuff that you've taken on as a responsibility or as a duty that really aren't either one. You've just taken them on. You've got some emotional weight attached to these to-dos that makes them feel like they're a responsibility or a duty. And with practice, this step in the system is going to give you more clarity around the reality of those false images. So you've sorted your to-dos into IPA and non-IPA, then you're going to run them through the must-do filter. Okay, there are three kinds of must-dos, and then there are should-dos. And should-dos are so important, I'm keeping them separate. So let's look at the must-dos first. You have the EMDs, the RMDs, and the WTDs. okay, EMDs, emergency must-dos, RMDs, the routine must-dos, and the WTDs, the want-to-dos, okay? This filter helps you see how everything fits together, and it gives you permission to free yourself from the stuff that's holding you back. If a should-do has been knocking on your door for a while, you can sit in this space and you can say, you know what? Something keeps telling me that I should do this, but right now it isn't in alignment with who I am or what will serve me, so I am choosing to let it go. And then you don't have all that guilt hanging around your neck like an albatross. Or you can look at that should do and you can say, you know what? I've been saying I should for a long time. Today's the day I'm going to take action on it, and it's going to become a must-do activity. All right? And we're going to talk more about should-dos in a minute. But the point of this is, as you're passing it through the filter, you'll get real clear on what's going to be done today. And as a busy mom and entrepreneur, I used to hammer myself all the time with all the things that I, quote unquote, should be doing. And ultimately, it only makes you more stressed out. It certainly doesn't help you keep a cool head under pressure. You know, and what causes that pressure? It's the shoulds. And what are these shoulds? They are competing demands from things that I know must be done, along with things that I really want to do. Okay, and here in a nutshell are the definitions of each of the must-dos. I'm going to start with emergency must-dos, and you'll understand why in a minute. Emergency must-dos are usually mission-critical tasks. Cleaning up a mess, putting out a fire, sometimes quite literally putting out a fire, dealing with a procrastination issue, either imposed on us by other people or self-inflicted. EMDs are tasks that need to be done today, or the consequences will probably be painful. And it may be mean it's such an EMD that it has to be done right this second. You have to drop everything else and handle this thing right now, whatever this thing is, or the consequences will be painful. And painful doesn't always mean physical pain. It's not like if I don't do this right now, my arm's going to fall off. It can also be a financial pain. If I don't do this, they're going to hit me with some kind of a fine, or a psychological pain. If I don't do this, you know, I'm going to really let people down, and that's going to make me feel terrible. Generally speaking, if an EMD doesn't get done, there's going to be a punitive price to pay. There's going to be a feeling of punishment around the price that you are paying, the pain that you're being that's being inflicted upon you or someone you care about, okay? And while the world may not cave in because you didn't do this thing, sometimes it will feel like the world has caved in. And this is a tough area because EMDs can appear at any time throughout the day, or they may not appear at all. They can be very unpredictable, and they can be very tough to navigate, especially when we've made other plans with our lives and our plans didn't include having an emergency today, you know. Maybe your boss comes in with a new deadline, or your car breaks down and you got to figure out how to provide transportation for your kids in the afternoon because you don't have a car. EMDs often manifest as part of the ebb and flow of our daily lives, that whole out of the blue surprise while life was happening, you know, while we were making other plans, life was happening kind of a thing. But, and this is important, EMDs are often an indicator, if they're happening regularly for you, that you're not being proactive in your life. EMDs can be predictable sometimes if we are more proactive in our lives, because many EMDs are caused by neglecting your should-do or want-to-do tasks for too long. For example, if you know that you should go to the gym, but you ignore that impulse for a few weeks, you could very easily find yourself in a position where your favorite suit doesn't quite fit, causing a wardrobe malfunction as you seat yourself in an important business luncheon. And now your EMD is to do something about your clothing and prevent further embarrassment while still trying to look professional. Okay. Now, it's not always easy to spot the source of an EMD, but if you are paying attention to your should-do impulses and making decisions on them instead of just letting them fester, we often can preempt EMDs before they manifest. Now, you know what? You can't control the drunk driver who comes out of nowhere and sideswipes your car in the parking lot. You can't control the comet that fell out of the sky. Okay, and I'm not saying that, but I am saying that there are times when we create situations for ourselves that ultimately result in a quote-unquote emergency, catastrophe, disaster, horrifying incident that if we had planned properly for, it would not have happened in the first place. Okay, and yes, that means I'm putting the onus back on you to assume responsibility for your life, but I don't think you'd be in this program if that wasn't something that was important to you in the first place. So that's EMDs. RMDs, our regular or our routine must-dos. These are the activities that recur in our lives on a sometimes daily or at least periodic basis. Things like going to work, picking up the kids from school, cleaning the house, you know, going to church, doing this, visiting the family, etc., brushing our teeth, okay? Life doesn't happen without our RMDs. Most of us build our worlds around our RMDs and our routines and our families and the things that we do together that make us a family. But there's a distinction that we as creative entrepreneurs need to make, because while all RMDs must be done, they don't always have to be done by you. And this is where a lot of people get confused. They assume that because it's part of their routine, it's IPA or it's a must-do. And it may be a must-do, but it may not be a must-do by you. And if you remember our IPA definition, it has to be something that has to be done and can only be done by you. All right? When we are at our best, creative entrepreneurs are artists that perform a host of differing roles. We wear lots of hats and don't usually mind doing it. But when we are seeking to find our balance point, it usually means we have to take off a few of those hats and pass them on to someone else, at least temporarily or occasionally. And this takes us back to delegation. Okay? Yes, the children need to be picked up from school, but maybe a carpool will give you the opportunity to get yourself in a better frame of mind before your kids come home. Okay? Housework, yeah, needs to be done. But maybe you need to hire a housekeeper once a month or once a week, or, you know, just to lighten the load, or assign some chores to the children or your spouse or a friend or whatever. If finances are tight, you can ask people to help pick up the slack, even if it's just a one-time thing, to give you the space you need to focus on IPA. You don't delegate so that you can go slack off and do nothing. You delegate so that you can focus on IPA. And here's something about asking for help that I think is important. Humans were designed to be somewhat dependent on each other. You can't perform your own brain surgery. Okay? We need other people. Sometimes we, and I'm, you know, a classic example of this, we are staunchly independent and I can do it myself. I don't need your help. And you may not need someone's help all the time, but there are times when you will need help, and we are designed to need help and ask for it from one another to give and to receive, okay? It's why we develop communities, even in the online world. We want to be surrounded with people that understand who we are, who support our dreams and goals, and can share joys and pains while we strive together. Having that interdependence means we need to improve our ability to ask for help and actually ask for it. Not just improve the ability, but actually do the asking, okay? And many people feel overwhelmed by their daily to-do lists. I can remember when I would have 50 or 60 things on a to-do list in the course of a day, and I would actually expect that I would get them all done, okay? And women especially have a difficult time asking for help, and our mindset often is, well, if I'm so busy, then chances are good everybody else I know is also. And that's not true. It's nonsense, actually. Most of my life, I haven't owned a dishwasher, and I absolutely detest doing dishes. I have a teenage son who's in that same boat with me. He hates doing dishes. But I never had a problem helping my friends do the dishes at their house. And that always struck me as odd. And I discovered that while I hate doing dishes by myself, I don't hate doing dishes necessarily. If you put other people in the room with me so that I have someone to talk to, lo and behold, I get the dishes done. So to me, what I learned was doing dishes was an isolating activity, and I don't like to be isolated. I don't like isolation. My essential why is about bringing people together and inspiring great things in people, and dishes all alone and lonely didn't fit that bill for me. I'm social by nature, and I need to interact with other people. That's why I teach classes like this. And the same was true for exercise for me. I'd let myself get horribly out of shape because I could find any excuse in the world to not work out if I had to do it by myself. It felt isolating. It felt alone. I had all that negative self-talk going on in my head. What are you doing this for? You're only kidding yourself, blah, blah, blah. But when I work out with a friend, or if I go dancing, it doesn't feel like I'm working out, and I can socialize a little while I'm doing all of this, and that makes a big difference for me in getting things done. My essential why of bringing people together meant that I would procrastinate on my should-dos of exercise or dishes. But once I was able to shift the way I framed the situation, okay, and found a way to do those things in a way that was in alignment with my essential why by getting other people involved, then those things didn't fall off my radar anymore. Now, asking for help doesn't mean you'll always get a yes. So you have to be prepared for that and ask from a place of detachment. We say, be committed to getting an answer, but don't be attached to the outcome. Don't be attached to the answer itself. Just be committed to making the ask, okay? You want help, but you can't expect the answer is always going to be yes. You need to practice asking, and you need to have contingency plans if you really need help, but your first choice helper isn't available. For example, you know, I have a plan that my son's going to help me do the dishes, and lo and behold, he's going to spend the night with a friend, or he's going to go to a movie or something, and I'm going to be home alone. Well, I need a contingency plan to make sure the dishes get done, or I won't do them because I know my social tendencies would preclude me from wanting to do the dishes. So I have to create a backup plan. What's my backup plan? Well, I'll call my husband, or, you know, do him before he leaves, or something like that. Okay? Have a backup plan. It's like building a muscle. You have to start with those small things. Remember, we talked about delegation in our first session. I said, start with the little things that you could pass off and delegate that if they fell through the cracks, the world wouldn't fall apart. So that you could get used to the idea of this is what delegation feels like. And then you could start trusting people with bigger responsibilities and getting some of those more important tasks off your list because they don't need to be done by you. Okay? Many women stop asking for help because they've been burned too many times with friends or family that said they would help, but then they didn't follow through. Or they didn't want to wear out their welcome with friends and family. And I've used that excuse myself. I still use that excuse. I have a friend who likes to pick up my six-year-old almost every weekend, and I'm always like, are you sure we're not wearing out our welcome? And he's like, no, he's great. I love having him. He's like having another grandkid. It's good time, you know? And so I'm always cautious to make sure that we're not overstaying our welcome there. You know, so I use that excuse. I'm very intimately familiar with it. But the fact of the matter is that if you're clear in outlining your needs as well as your expectations, a lot of that guilt or anxiety or fear can be avoided. So here are some suggestions to help you practice asking. Number one, ask for help when you really need it, not the minute before you need it, but like as soon as you know you need it, right? And don't beg. Be clear about what you want. Lay out the specific expectations and any rewards or consequences for helping or not helping, especially if you're dealing with children. If you tell them, hey, I would really like you to help me with this, and when we get this done, I can do this, or if we don't get this done, then this is going to happen. Okay? Be clear with people. Honor and respect the time and energy that others are investing in helping you. And it makes them more likely to want to help you again in the future when you are honoring their time and you're saying thank you and all that stuff. Number two, don't wait. As soon as you think you might need help, start asking, okay? Because this does two things. One, it gives you time to find a suitable replacement if your first choice is no, but it also prevents people from feeling like they've been put upon or that you always wait until the last minute to ask for help. It's so easy to say, hey, I'm going out of town in 2 months, and I know that you don't always know what your calendar is going to be like, but can you help me? You know, I can help you by picking up the kids for the next 3 or 4 weeks before I leave town if you'd be willing to help me while I'm gone. This is a very clear, specific request for help, and then, you know, you can follow it up with something that's a fair trade that the person you're asking for help would be eager to jump on. And sometimes you don't have anything to offer in return. You just really need their help. And you would hope that in some instance in the future when they need help, you'll be able to return the favor. There's nothing wrong with being honest about that. Don't make commitments that you can't keep. Don't offer something that you're not able to offer. Be honest with people so that they can see you for the truth of who you are and that they can come to love, honor, and respect you as that person. And then suggestion number three, don't take it personally if somebody says no. I have a friend who always has a full plate, a full calendar. And I offer to help her far more than she offers to help me. But when the chips are really down in my life, she's there for me. When my mom died, she like dropped everything and came and spent days with us. When I ask for her help at other times, she politely declines, says she can't. She's got other plans. You know, because of her busy schedule, she's often unavailable. But she moved mountains for me for several days when my mom died. So realize that some of your friends and family can't always help you. And it's not because they don't care or they don't love you enough. It's because their priorities are different than yours. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just the way it is. you know, for my particular friend, the other things that I was asking for help for didn't fit her priorities. But the minute I said my mom died, she dropped everything for me because that was a priority that matched up with who she is and what she's in alignment with. And remember, you have that same freedom when other people come to you and ask for help. There are going to be times when you can say no because it's not in alignment with your priorities, but then there are other times when you're going to drop everything and move mountains for them because what they're asking for is in alignment with exactly who you are and what you're about in the world. Number four, be willing to reciprocate. Learn to cushion your life. Create space in your life so that you can be the one offering help as well as the one that's accepting it. People are more likely to want to help someone that has helped them in the past. It's a psychological and emotional debt thing that we as humans develop in our psyches, and we want to repay people. When you do something nice for me, I want to do something nice for you. If I can, if there's anything I can do to repay that debt, we want to be even with each other. We don't want to feel like we're indentured to somebody else. And yes, there are people who will take advantage of that in the world, and I'm trusting that you are going to value yourself enough to not try and put yourself in relationships with those kinds of people. But at the same time, you're going to be in relationship with those kinds of people at some point in your life. Just expect that that's coming down the pike, which is another reason why I don't say help people because you want to get something in return. Help people because you want to help people, because it's in alignment with who you are and what you're trying to do. But be willing to reciprocate. And suggestion number five, delegate or outsource the must-dos that don't need to be done by you. That will help you create some space in your life. Often the things that you can delegate easily are responsibilities that have fallen to you because you haven't taken the time to appoint somebody else to handle them. If you don't enjoy grocery shopping, but you don't want your family to starve, consider finding someone else to do it, or even asking your spouse to handle it if they're willing. You know, you could have your girlfriend give her a list and say, hey, since you're going grocery shopping anyways, could you pick these things up for me? Here's the money. You know, you're already going that way. I'll even give you a little bit for gas so that I don't have to go. And then I can see you when you come my way to drop off my groceries. It would be great. You know, there are ways to make that stuff work. There are many RMDs that don't have to be done by you if you're willing to compensate someone else to do it. And compensate doesn't always mean with money. And I want to get that through your head. It doesn't always have to be about the Benjamin. Sometimes it's a trade for services. Sometimes it's a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of a thing. You know, find the quid pro quo. Find the way to make the things that you want to have happen by being helpful and genuine and really caring about the people that you're in relationship with. So now let's talk about the should-dos, because like I said, these are so important. They fall into their own category all by themselves. These should-dos come from two places, okay? Things that we know we need to consider doing or doing more often, like exercise. I know I should go to the gym or I should work out, okay? They also come from other people who've made suggestions that we should consider doing. Okay, like, you know, you should really think about joining that program, or you should really think about doing this thing, or, you know, maybe you should da-da-da. If I were you, you should da-da-da-da-da, okay? A lot, and I mean truckloads, probably the majority of the guilt in your life stems from ignoring the should-dos in your life. Yes, I know I need to work out 3 times a week, but there's so many RMDs and EMDs cropping up that the workout gets put off until tomorrow or the next day or next week or next month or next year. And eventually that should do that you ignored, that key area of success that you ignored, becomes an EMD. Now I've got chronic diabetes and I'm, you know, 700 pounds overweight and I can't even walk through the door, all because I knew I should work out, but I never did. I never made the decision to work out, okay? I'm obviously not 700 pounds overweight. I'm just giving that as an example. Or perhaps you keep hearing your mother-in-law's voice telling you that you should be a better mother and you should cook dinner every night for your family and you should have a family meal where everybody gets together. And that kind of advice is very well-intentioned most of the time. I mean, every once in a while we get one of those cranky in-laws, but for the most part, they think they're trying to, you know, help us and be good people and looking out for our best interests. But usually those shoulds serve more as a distraction than a help to the balance that you're trying to bring to your life. The only way to handle a should do is to make a decision. You have to handle them head on. Now, it's not always easy to say, well, mother-in-law, I appreciate your wisdom. I'm still going to do it my way. But you need to set clear boundaries with everybody in your life. I would be willing to bet that well-meaning family and friends have done more to derail our goals and ambitions than most of our enemies. Probably all of our enemies combined have done less to derail us than our own family and friends, who had good intentions and were just trying to help. But here's the thing. If we could set loving boundaries with our children and say, oh, no, honey, don't touch the stove. It's hot. Oh, no, honey, mommy's working right now. Oh, no, honey, this is not the time for that. I really appreciate your creative ideas, dear, but this is how we're going to do it anyways. If we can set those boundaries with our children, we need to create similar healthy boundaries with all of our loved ones, family, friends, colleagues, associates, clients, employees, etc. You have to stop letting others should on you. And notice I said, you have to stop. Not you should stop. You have to stop. The only way to stop it is to make a decision that it's going to end. And then back it up. Enforce it. Likewise, stop shoulding on yourself. You know when a should comes into your life from your own mouth, from your own head, whether or not you're really going to act on it. If an activity needs to become an RMD, I should really be working out 3 times a week, then find a way to incorporate it into your schedule or get real with yourself and say, it's not going to be on my to-do list this week. Should-dos that are left undone either create guilt, anxiety, or eventually become a source of an EMD. Let me say that again. Should-dos that are left undone, meaning you didn't make a decision on whether to do it, delegate it, or delete it. Should-dos that are left undone either create guilt, anxiety, or eventually become the source of EMDs. These are the most dangerous things that can come onto your radar. The minute you hear the word, I should, come out of your lips, you need to stop what you're doing and really think about, is this something I should be doing? And if I really need to be doing it, how do I incorporate that into my life? And if it's not something that you should be doing, like you need to do it, if it's really not, then you need to correct yourself and say, no, it's not something I should be doing. It's something that I've been telling myself I should be doing, but I'm choosing at this point to not address that right now. And be honest with yourself. Again, it's not good, it's not bad, it's just the state of reality. When you've got a special needs child who is demanding 8 to 10 hours of your focused attention every day, it's very difficult at best to also devote another 8 to 10 hours working on building your business, doing your creative projects, going out and meeting people, tending to your other children, taking care of your house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I should do those dishes. Yep. Those dishes are something that need to be done, but they are not going to be done today, and I've made a conscious decision to focus on spending time with my child today, and the dishes will get done tomorrow. Not a judgment, just a statement of reality. Some things have to wait, and your essential why and your IPA are going to dictate what waits and what gets done. And when you make a decision from that space, there's no more guilt. There's no more anxiety. You are free. You have liberated yourself from the bonds of all of that emotional energy that is draining you so that you can channel that energy into things that are going to empower you. So some suggestions on how to get rid of some of these should-dos, all right? Just a reminder, number one, that the fewer should-dos there are on your plate, the easier it's going to be to bring your life into balance. But number two, consider how many should-dos are actually additional responsibilities that you don't need to be adding to your life at this time. And if it's a new responsibility that's like on the horizon that someone's trying to get you to take on, you can say no. And you can eliminate that should-do before it even appears on your radar. Number three, if a should-do really is an RMD that you've been procrastinating about, figure out why you've been procrastinating about it and ask for help in getting a solution. You know, dishes were a should-do for me for a long time. When I figured out why I was procrastinating on them, I started inviting other people to participate with me. And now that we've got a dishwasher, I still invite family to interact with me while I'm loading it and have my teenager unload it. You know, that works for us. So find ways to make a decision. And if you're not sure why you're procrastinating on something, spend some time looking at it and going, what is it about this thing that I just can't seem to get myself to do? And as a creative, I can speak to that even in my creative projects. Sometimes I'll sit down to work on my book or to work on a song, and I'm not feeling it. And I walk away and I don't do it. And it's like, well, huh, I love writing. I love singing. I love performing. Why am I procrastinating? What is it about this thing that I'm avoiding right now? Why am I not, you know, feeling it right now? And sometimes the answer is this spot is tricky and I haven't figured it out yet. Or, you know, I've rehearsed it 7 times in the last 2 days and I really just don't want to look at it again for a while. And it's not a judgment play. It's just, this is the reality. I've done it 7 times and I'd really like to take a break from it. Okay. So I am choosing, instead of calling myself a procrastinator and saying I should work on it, I'm choosing to not do that right now, and I'm choosing to do something else instead that's also IPA. Okay? That's important. And you have permission fully to make those decisions and not have to feel guilt about them. So let's talk about want-to-dos. Want-to-dos seem pretty self-explanatory. Okay, these are the things that you want to do. I really want to take a vacation. I really want to take the day off. I really want to go visit my family. I really want to go do this. Okay, I really want to have this in my life. These are the things that are going to bring joy to your life. And sometimes they're a reward for a job well done or just a mini celebration to help you get through the day. It could be lunch with your girlfriends or a bubble bath or a shopping trip, a family vacation. Really, the possibilities are left only to your imagination. But the trouble comes when want-to-dos are ignored for too long. You put your head down to workity work, work, work for weeks and months on end, and then you come up for air and you put your head back down and you're not getting that reward, you're not getting that joy, you're not getting that fulfillment. When want-to-dos are ignored, they don't bring up guilt or anxiety like your should-dos do. Oh, I should take a vacation. No, this isn't I should take a vacation. This is an I want to take a vacation. And I've not been able to because I can't afford it, because I don't have the money, because I don't have the time on my calendar, because my boss is a jerk, whatever. Okay, I want to do something and I can't. And it begins with frustration. But what quickly develops when your want-to-dos are consistently ignored? Anger, resentment, hostility. They bubble and they brew and you start to feel like you're being taken for granted when you want to feel appreciated. You start to begrudge putting other people's needs first, like those of your family, when in fact you love them to pieces. You just want them to show you the same kind of courtesy. Okay, you know, if they would treat us nicely and they would give us this time that we asked for, then we could start reading that book we picked up the other day that we really want to read. You know, and this can be in small moments, and what ends up happening is when the anger and the resentment slip in, we can become passive-aggressive, start looking for ways to get what we want no matter what, that whole, you know, we'll show them kind of attitude. It can also mean that we take out our anger and our resentment on the wrong people, people who don't deserve our anger and our wrath, people who didn't even bring this situation to a head. We get angry with our kids because we want to do something and we can't because we're stuck watching them or whatever. Or we want to spend time with our kids and we can't because we've got a sick parent that we have to tend to and now we're angry with our parent. No, we made choices and we haven't taken time to choose ourselves and do the things that we want to do. And again, you have to walk the line between doing what serves you as a means of self-care and taking care of yourself and filling up your emotional, you know, fuel tank, so to speak, and serving the needs of others. We can't be completely selfish, and we can't be completely selfless, because if all we do is give, eventually we're going to run out of things to give. And if all we do is take, eventually there's going to be nothing left to take. There has to be a flow, an ebb and a flow, give and a receive. It's a two-way street. And if anger and resentment and wrath start brewing, it's a sure sign of another EMD in the making. I've watched my teenage boy get so angry that he punches a hole through a window and cuts his hand, and now he's got to go to the hospital. You know, he gets so angry, he, you know, slams the oven door and it shatters. Oh, now we've got an EMD. We got to fix an oven door. You know, those things happen because things have bubbled and brewed and gotten out of control, and we haven't taken care of the want to do. Okay? So some suggestions on easing the want to do's. Number one, recognize that it's okay to have wants. It's absolutely 100% okay to have wants. God gave us desire so that we didn't stay complacent. Now, we can't be chained to our desire, but it's okay to have wants. And it's okay to make a plan for incorporating some of those wants into your life. Maybe not all at once, but if you're not doing anything, then definitely start incorporating some wants into your life. Number two, recognize that it's okay for other people to have wants also, and be willing to accommodate those wants in your life as well. For example, my husband likes golfing, not me. I have horror stories about playing golf and trying to learn how to golf, and I have no desire to play golf because of it. My husband, on the other hand, enjoys it. So he wants to golf. I don't want to golf. How do I accommodate that? I give him the time and the space to be able to go do something that he wants to do, and then he accommodates me by giving me the time and the space to be able to do what I want to do. Sometimes together, sometimes not. And that's okay. Suggestion number three. Sometimes you're going to need to compromise or be flexible. We can't always want what we want when we want it. My grandmother had a plaque that hung on her kitchen wall, and it said, "Good things come to he who waiteth. If he worketh like heck, will he waiteth." Sometimes the fruit of our labors is much sweeter if we wait a bit to enjoy it. So instead of being impatient, practice gratitude and be flexible about the schedule to enjoy your want-to-dos, especially if someone else's want-to-do conflicts with yours. And that can happen. You know, my son wants to go do this. We have one car and I have to go do something else. You know, or I want to go do something else and I'm the grown-up. Sometimes I win, sometimes he wins. That's just the nature of compromise when two people have wants that conflict with one another. So pick your battles carefully, and as long as you're not indefinitely procrastinating on your own wants and it's a mutual give and take, don't be afraid to say, I'm going to compromise this time and you get what you want this time, but next time I get what I want. Okay, fine, cool. Number four, remember that self-care is an RMD, not a WTD. Creative entrepreneurs, especially women, are notorious for doing so much stuff and ignoring your self-care needs. This is not a want. This is not a should. Taking care of yourself is a high priority must-do activity. If you're not taking care of yourself, you can't create your best work. Now, your definition of self-care may vary from time to time. It may even vary from 1 minute to the next. But whatever your definition is, you need to make you a priority in your own life, taking care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of you and do the things that nourish and fill you, why should anybody else? Okay? You've got routine stuff. You've got emergency stuff. Maybe you've got new stuff you'd like to try and fit into a new routine. This is where you're going to sort out what goes where, right? A new exercise and the need to be eliminated. Now, once you break everything out and sort it, IPA, non-IPA, want to do, should do, must do, EMD, RMD, WTD, okay? You've still got one more thing to look at. Four questions to ask so that you can really scrutinize the to-dos on your list. And I know that this sounds like a lot of work, what I'm explaining right now, but in reality, once you get practice at this, it takes seconds. Because once you get the hang of identifying and sorting your to-dos, it goes very quickly. You know, we're learning the syntax right now, but once you get this done, you'll know right away as soon as you look at something. Oh, is it a should-do? No, it's not a should-do. It's a want-to-do. It's a, you know, you'll know it right away, instantly, once you get this down, right? So here are the four questions that I ask myself after I've sorted everything, non-IPA, IPA, want-to-do, should-dos, must-dos, regular emergency, okay? Question number one, what needs must be done by me? Okay, a need is not the same as a want or a should. And verify if you really have to be the one to do this. If not, move it to the non-IPA pile, okay? Which wants, this is question number two, which wants must be done by you? Now, are these your wants or somebody else's wants? You got to be ruthless and you got to be honest. If they're not your wants, move them to the non-IPA pile. Now, once you've pulled those needs and wants that aren't yours out of the IPA pile, you've got these next two questions to ask about your IPA. Number one, what resources do I have to make this work? And number two, what resources do I need to make this work? And if you find a stumbling block, this is where we're going to create a third pile, okay, called the help pile. If you can't take action on it today, if you need more resources, more help, or maybe a new approach, you're going to have to get help on it because you can't act on it. It's a help issue, so it goes in the help pile, right? So now you have basically three piles, non-IPA, IPA, and help. From here, you should have a clear list of what needs to be done by you today. That's your IPA, all right? As you review that list, make sure, do your best to make sure that there's something from each of those five key areas on that list. If you don't have something from each of the five key areas, you're going to want to ask yourself why you don't, okay? Maybe your emotional bank account tank is filled in the key area of family right now and you don't need to do anything with them. I'm not asking you to add stuff just to add stuff. The objective is to be mindful that nothing is getting neglected. So if your family tank is full, great. But if you're avoiding family issues and family activities or there's tough stuff and you don't want to have to face them, that's a different story. If you haven't done anything with your family in a week and a half because everybody's mad at everybody, it's time to get an accountability partner, get, you know, professional help, have an intervention, whatever it takes to make sure that you're having some family time. But that is talk for next week when we clarify and we triage our expectations, all right? That's what we'll do next week when we shake out, you know, creating the actual master plan. This week, I just want you to be mindful. It's a powerful process when you look back over the last week and you realize, I didn't do a thing to build my family relationships this week. No wonder my kids are cranky at me. Or, his pants were a little tight today and I haven't done anything in the last week in terms of eating better or taking better care of myself. That would probably explain why these pants are too tight. Okay? You can start to head off things at the pass before it becomes World War III in your life when you're asking these questions proactively. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself because that's what we're going to do in our next session. We've sorted out our IPA from our non-IPA. And this week it's about awareness. You know, be aware of what is on the to-do list and what is not. What is IPA and what is not in terms of the five key areas. Now, if you've got some things that are must-dos that are non-IPA, you need to hold on to those because next week we're going to get clear on our expectations. But this is where we start to build the master plan. This is where we start to lay these things out and say, okay, look, I got 75 things on my list today. I'm not going to get to 75 things. It's not humanly possible to get to all 75 things when each one takes at least 30 minutes. I'm not even going to be alive that long today. I have to sleep. So what do I really have to do? What is really for me to do? What it can only be done by me. Okay, we'll start with that list. Of the things that can only be done by me, what of these things are needs? Okay, these four things are needs. Great. What are these things are wants? Well, seven of them are wants. Okay, super. Of the needs, what do I have to be able to make these things happen? I have this, I have this, I have this. What do I need to make these things happen? Oh, I have three things that I don't have everything I need for. They go in the help pile. Now, instead of having nine things I need to work on, I've got seven things I need to work on or five things I need to work on. Okay, that's a much more manageable list. Now, what do we do with all that other stuff? Well, that's when we maybe go back and say, okay, these things are going to have to be delegated. These things are going to have to be put off until tomorrow because there's just no way I'm going to get to them today. Okay? And so create time in your calendar for self-care, make sure you eat a healthy meal or two or three, get the exercise you need. You know, all that stuff's important too. You can't pack your day so full that you're not taking care of yourself. And we'll finish shaking all of that out next week. And chances are good that with just this step, you've still got more than enough on your plate to get you through the entire day and probably into next week. That's okay. The first few weeks that you're working through the peace system, you're always going to find that you have more on your list than you can accomplish. And if you skip a few weeks once you've started doing this, you're going to find yourself falling back into those old habits of building a to-do list that's way too big. But over time, as you start to respect yourself and value you and your time more, you're going to stop taking on all those responsibilities that don't serve you and don't serve a greater purpose in your life and your great work. You get to take back control and realize that some of that stuff on your list, it ain't going to happen today. I don't know why I put it on there because I ain't going to get to that. Now, before we actually start prioritizing, you need to deal with your non-IPA list because you probably built this big old stack of responsibilities into your life that don't need to be done by you. And maybe that's because you think nobody else could do it or you don't trust that somebody else will do it. That's not true. and hopefully you're learning that. But here's where you get to start practicing reaching out for help. Look at the non-IPA must-do activities, okay? The ones that don't need to be done by you, but they need to be done, and see where you can get help. Even if it's only for today or only for this week, reach out and ask for help. It's a good muscle to exercise. Practice this week asking for help at least once a day. Try not to always ask the same person, although if you only know one person in the world, start there. And one of the things you could ask them for help with is, hey, I need help asking people for help. Who can you introduce me to? How can I meet some more people so that I can ask for help? I know that sounds kind of wonky, but I need practice. I need to meet more people. I need to make more friends so that I have more people I can turn to besides just you or one friend of mine. And maybe they're in the same boat. Maybe you guys need to brainstorm together and come up with some new ideas about how to meet more people. There's nothing wrong with that. But practice asking for help at least once a day this week. And be prepared that the answer may be no. It's not about the answer right now. It's about the practice. Okay? And you might be pleasantly surprised at the help that you actually do get. And you don't have to ask for big things. Start small. Start with what you feel comfortable asking for help with. And if it feels uncomfortable, make it a smaller ask, but still ask. Okay? It's important to ask. So start sifting through the IPA and anything that you could get help with and put that in your help pile. But if it's something you can't get help for and you know it's got to be done today, put it at the head of your IPA pile. But mark it so that you can keep track of it and find a way to ask for help to get rid of it as soon as possible if it's a recurring activity. Okay? You need to be mindful of the non-IPA activities that you're adding to your IPA list that must be done, that don't need always be done by you, okay? So that you can create a strategy for getting those things off your plate. You're too busy and you are too valuable to keep doing stuff that's not moving your business or your life forward in some way. And there are plenty of people out there willing to help you. You can hire a VA, a personal assistant. They can help with some of the workload. And they're not as expensive as you might think because they'll work for just a few hours a month. You know, and that's a few hours of your life you're going to have back to focus on IPA. So once you've sorted out everything, you can prioritize your IPA. And the way I prioritize, you know, you've narrowed everything down. Ask yourself, if I only get to one thing today, if I can only do one thing, which one is going to make the most impact, the most positive impact? Another way to ask it, what one item will do the most good or move my business or my life in an empowering, positive direction? And sometimes you have to change the way the question is phrased, right? But the logic behind the question is simple. Let's say you get up and you have a clear calendar and you're all set to start hammering away at your IPA and an EMD hits you from out of the blue. What are your big rocks for the day, okay? That thing that if you could only accomplish that thing, that's the must-do for today. You know, if the whole world falls apart, this is the one thing I'm going to focus on trying to get done. And if they have a specific time set to them, like, well, my kid's soccer game is at noon and I have to be there, I will move hell and high water to be there, fine, okay? Order them that way on your calendar if they have a set time to them. If not, then order them 1 to 5 for your 5 big rocks. And then fill in everything else around that. And when you run out of day, you're done prioritizing, you know, but at least you know you've handled the big stuff. And don't fall into the trap of underestimating the amount of time it takes you to do something. Oh, I can whip that out in 10 minutes. If you think you can whip it out in 10 minutes, give yourself 20. Because they're setting it up, tearing it down, you know, dialing, redialing, leaving a message and following up again. Give yourself time in your calendar. I was a sucker for that for years. Oh, I can do that in 30 minutes. Yeah, I can do it in 30 minutes when everything goes perfectly smoothly and there are no problems along the way. But sometimes something happens and it doesn't quite work out the way you want it to. Give yourself the cushion of the extra time. 45-minute coaching call, I schedule an hour. Because I might want to run over a little bit and I don't want anybody feeling like I'm cutting them short or I'm digging into somebody else's time. Give yourself time in your calendar. Now, I know that we've covered a lot and it may seem like a lot to take in. I encourage you to let this soak in. do what you can and just start practicing. It's like when you first start tying your shoes, you can make the X and you can go under and you can pull it tight. Sometimes making those loops is kind of tricky and it takes time, but you can do the X. You get real good at doing the X and putting the string through, and then you make the first loop. And you get real good at making that first loop, and then you start to come around the loop with the other. Okay? It's a practice thing. But if you don't start practicing, you're not going to see any results. And over time, that big stuff isn't going to feel so big. The little stuff's not going to, you know, it's going to be even smaller. And you're going to stop putting so much pressure on yourself. And what ends up happening when you're not feeling the pressure, you actually perform better. You get more of the right things done in less time. Not just more stuff, but more of the right stuff gets done in less time. And I know because I've seen it time and again in my own life and in the lives of my clients. My to-do list 2 years ago had, you know, 23 things on it. Now my daily to-do list has 7 to 10 things on it, and then I whittle that down to my core 3 or 5 must-do IPA. I focus on making those things happen, and then I sprinkle in the other stuff where I can. And if it doesn't get completed, I move it to the list for tomorrow, and then I assess it again. You know, and sometimes it gets moved again, and then we triage, figure out why does this thing keep getting moved, and we'll talk about that in our next session. Now, you hear me talking about piles, you know, your IPA pile and your non-IPA pile. And I want to share just a couple of ways to work through this. Sorting, sifting kind of a thing. Sometimes it's easier to just put them on sticky notes or note cards and, you know, move them around like that. And that's what I mean by piles. But I'm a list maker. So I don't always make piles of these things. I make a big long list and then I mark them with a star or a code or a symbol or something so that I can, you know, sort through them that way. And I just make a list and then I mark them. I for IPA or N for non-IPA. I mark it H if I need help with it. I'll mark it E if it's an EMD, like I know that the oven door needs to be replaced and I got the guy coming over. That's an EMD, all right? R for an RMD, W for a WTD. And then if it's pertinent to one of the 5 key areas, I list them, you know, 1 to 5 because each of the key areas starts with an F. You know, I just 1 to 5, all right? So an item could be NHR2. And it's a family issue that's routine and regular, but it's non-IPA and I need some help with it. Okay? Again, how you sort through it isn't as important as why you're sorting through it and the fact that you're sorting through it. So the doing is important. You've got to do it to see success with it. And your process, your way of doing it, has got to be authentic for you. So those are just a couple of different ways to handle that. I know we went all the way to the end of time today. We had a lot to cover, and I'm not showing any questions in the queue. If you guys do have any questions about any of the content, please just give us an email, info@lisarobinyoung.com. If you have any feedback about the course so far, I would also love to hear that. That's what I'm here for. We're here to help you guys see success with this program, and since this is something I developed, I know it pretty intimately and want to help you guys see as much success as possible. So any questions, concerns, comments, feedback, we would love to hear from you. That is going to wrap it up for us today. Until next week, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Everybody have a great day.